Just in time for summer, the folks at Epic Brewing have released a new canned cocktail, the Utah Margarita. A delicious blend of real lime and agave, the Utah Margarita is ready to drink by the river or in the park. And here's the kicker, no need to buy it at a liquor store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or visit Epic Brewing on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. We are back to city business, and boy, what a week for the Salt Lake City Council. From Tuesday night chaos to an update on what to do about displaced businesses, executive producer Emily Means is here, and we've got the scoop. Plus, what kinds of free local stuff can you get on your birthday? It's Friday, March 8th. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Good morning, Emily Means. Before we get into the news, we want to ask our listeners if they'll consider becoming a CityCast Salt Lake member.
Yes.
Why should they do that?
First reason is to support us in the work we do here at CityCast with this daily podcast you rely on, with our daily newsletter, Hey Salt Lake, that you open up every single morning. You know, you can get exclusive member benefits, like an invitation to events that we host, and you know, we've been doing more and more of those lately. We've got one coming up, Allie, which is really exciting.
So fun. It filled in a half a day.
Yes. And this is our fun run from the 9th and 9th Whale to Central 9th. And we want to be doing more of these things with our members. Other benefits include ad-free podcast listening. But really, the main thing is that you like what we do here and you want us to continue doing it.
Yep. That's basically the whole pitch. If you think we're doing a good job and you like this podcast, consider becoming a member. I will also say you'll be in great company. You can find out more about membership at membership.citycast.fm. There are different like price tiers, different ways to kind of go about it. But what you need to know is that every time you become a member, everyone on our team's computer dings and your name pops up on the screen. And if you write us a little message, we all read it.
So exciting.
And it's the highlight of our day. So is that reason enough? I don't know. Let's get into the news.
Let's do it.
The Utah legislature went home and the city council is in. It does feel like what a pivot this week from legislative news to chaos at the city council meeting.
Mamma mia.
We rolled downhill, proverbially and literally.
Oh my gosh. You know, Allie, I'm excited that we're back to local business.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. For anyone who is new to Salt Lake and doesn't know or doesn't pay very close attention to Salt Lake City governance, the Salt Lake City Council is a 7-member city council. They all represent districts across the city. There are 7 of them. Incidentally, this is the queerest and most diverse council the city has ever had. And on Tuesday night, I feel confident saying chaos erupted when the council announced that they were making some changes to how they go about public comment. Now, they also did lots of other business, which we're going to get into, the nuts and bolts of zoning and all the stuff they did at that meeting. But we kind of have to start with the drama.
Right. This was the big item. And I think the item that probably the council was also most nervous about, it was put on their agenda, I think, just last week. There was only one, you know, kind of briefing on this, and it was the same day, Tuesday. And essentially what they did was change their public comment policy as it relates to general public comment. So that is for items that are not scheduled for a public hearing, like land use and budget items. And for this general public comment period, that will now be limited to 1 hour and 2 minutes per person.
It was so interesting that there was no public comment on the resolution to limit public comment.
Yeah.
Feels very Parks and Rec to say that sentence out loud.
That's true, Allie.
Yeah.
They didn't take public comment on this resolution. Councilmember Chris Wharton actually cleared the meeting room out due to disruption. And so there was no comment on the public comment resolution.
I'll note that with our city council meetings, they do cost money and they do cost taxpayer dollars. And that I personally have received multiple statements from council members, from constituents who have felt at our recent meetings that they have been felt unsafe to comment and that they object to the use of, they don't want their public tax dollars going towards meetings that don't have an end. So, anyone. All right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, we'll go ahead and recess.
So why are people booing? Right?
Yeah.
So, and I think, Emily, what's interesting about what's happening here is just timing is everything.
Right.
Right? Like, timing is everything in this life. And especially if you are an elected, if you are communicating out change, timing is everything. And the timing of this announcement is after the city council held one of their longest ever meetings, where public comment was largely dedicated to time spent by activists calling on the Salt Lake City Council to pass a resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza. And whether it's like so hard to hear this because you're just like, whether or not 1 hour of public comment is plenty, whether or not the council wants to vote on that or not, like, this is heavy stuff. People have a right to be in their feelings. And I think that when you try and like shut something down by leveraging your authority to do so, or like changing a law or a rule that feels like a response to a very specific like public request, it creates a PR crisis.
Right. And this, you know, this policy change came about pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
It was just placed on the agenda in the past week. And the council,
it feels reactionary.
It's hard to pull the two apart, even though, you know, Council Chair Victoria Petro during the city council's work session said, this has been a long time coming. Over the past couple of years, city council meetings have been getting longer and longer, and time is a finite resource for us. So it is very difficult, though, to extract these two ideas from each other.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that, like, this kind of public comment pressure, which we've seen, like, when there are important issues in our community, we see them reflected in public comment. In the summer of 2020, Salt Lake City Council meetings and public comment were, it felt like the whole summer they were spent people sharing their feelings around the Black Lives Matter movement, justice for Bernardo. Like, this is also just par for the course at city council meetings. But there's a groundswell. Like, these are grassroots movements, and they are creating pressure that builds up. And when the city council tries to put a lid on that pressure, what they create is a pressure cooker. They don't create less pressure, right? And so it's like, I think sometimes facing down how people are feeling in a way that is deeply emotional, and also when people are grieving with respectability politics, it's giving disagree better. Like, it's giving silencing your opponents and gaslighting them a little bit. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know, watching the city council like stand up and walk out, it just feels, I don't know. I'll say personally, like, I don't think it's a great look. I think like this is kind of the job, and let people be heard.
Yeah. And I do think public comment is quite tricky, Allie. Just recently we were talking mm-hmm. about public comment at the legislature, and you know how and that's kind of a different situation because, you know, they're making laws that will change our lives, you know, and people can get up there.
So does the city council.
True,
in some ways.
True. But like what they're limiting here again with this policy is general public comment. So you can
right.
still comment on, you know, land use budget policies, like we mentioned, and there's no time limit on that. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes in these public comment hearings, people can say whatever they want, right? And no one is fact checking them. No one is, there's no cap on what can mm-hmm. be said during these public hearings. And there's also been frustration by, I think, some planning commission members, too, or former planning commission members. We had on Andra Gent, who recently resigned from the Salt Lake City Planning Commission. And one thing she said was she felt like it'd be more effective for people to communicate, you know, like via email. Like she prefers to look through, control F, find the themes in a written comment rather than, you know, going through hours and hours of public comment process at these meetings. So I think it's a tricky balance because at what point have you talked for so long that it's not effective, that the message isn't getting through? But I don't think that means that people shouldn't have the time to say their piece. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah. I don't know. It is
tricky.
Well,
and it's like, again, timing is everything.
Right.
Why is now the time?
Right.
I mean, Avenue's residents have paraded down there for public comment to complain about how they don't want this or that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, now, the meeting after the longest meeting, like, it just is like, I don't know.
Yeah. And I love your pressure cooker analogy here, Allie, because the impact is that these young people who chose to engage in the system in our, you know, in our local government, they're pissed and disillusioned by the process. And I don't know that that is what our city council members wanted out of this.
Yeah. I mean, we just had municipal elections and voter turnout in Salt Lake City was abysmal. 36% of Salt Lake City voted in the municipal elections. I mean, people are already feeling apathetic.
Right.
I do want to say, Emily, like, you know, these activists calling for a ceasefire resolution are also being told by the city council that, you know, in February, the council adopted a resolution for peace. And I've seen a lot of reporting pointing to that. Like, we've already adopted a resolution for peace. Why are you here asking for more? And there's something that comes to my mind when I hear that. Have you seen Marcel the Shell?
Yeah, that's on my watch list. It's literally on my Netflix watch list.
Okay. So basically, there's this incredible scene where, like, the premise is Marcel is asking the internet to help him find his family. And so he's, like, put out this call to action where he's like, please do something. Like, I can't find my family. And he creates this YouTube video, and it he's reading through the comments on the YouTube video, and it's just people being like, he's so cute. Oh my goodness, I love him. And one person just wrote a heart, like, emoji, and then peace and love. And this is what Marcel has to say about that, and I think it's so poignant.
Peace. Yeah, obviously peace. Like, what a weird thing to try to test to see if someone else is into. Like, of course I'm into peace. No, sorry, I'm a real war person. No, war, actually. I sign all my personal letters war. Let the battle begin, Marcel.
That plays in my head every day.
Oh my gosh.
Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita, a delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave. And they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's. Or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo. Okay, let's talk about some things that the city council did do at their meeting on Tuesday that are going to impact our lives in other ways.
Sure. Let's chat briefly about the community benefit and tenant displacement amendments that the city council approved. Allie, this is part of the Thriving in Place anti-displacement plan that the city council adopted last year, which was created in response to the gentrification and growth our city has been experiencing in the past, I don't know, 5-10 years. And,
major.
You know, we've seen a lot of residents displaced by that. So these amendments that they approved seek to mitigate those impacts a bit. And let me just kind of try to hit the quick points here. This is specifically for developers seeking a zoning or general plan change, Allie.
Yep.
And they would have to replace housing that they demolish and then restrict the rental rate on those units or pay the city for the loss of affordable housing. They would have to provide additional community benefits like more housing or space for businesses that they've displaced or even like public lands that people can use that add value to the broader community. And if their project will displace tenants, then they would have to contribute to tenants' moving costs and like relocation fees.
It's perfect timing that we got these amendments this week because I think it was last week or the week before, right? We aired an episode with Building Salt Lake editor Taylor Anderson about the changes that are coming to State Street. And one of the things we talked about in that episode was like the fact that they're about to take down the shopping plaza at State Street and 1300 South, which is home to like 4 or 5, I think, immigrant-owned restaurants that are beloved. Korea House Hot Stone is in there. Namash Swahili Cuisine is in there. And the conversation Taylor and I were having is like, is there like what can the city do for displaced businesses? And there is this like, now we get this kind of answer, which is, according to this amendment, the applicant for a zoning change, if that zoning change would displace tenants, would have to contribute to their moving expenses, a housing application if necessary, deposit fees, rental assistance payments, like things like that, to kind of help people get reestablished. You made an important note, which is that this policy only applies to developments that are requesting a zoning amendment or an amendment to the Salt Lake City general plan.
Right.
A couple examples of those that we're seeing right now, I think, that are pretty good are like the zoning change request in Sugar House to build a high-rise there where the Wells Fargo building currently sits. That's a zoning request, so that would be an example of where this is implemented. Also, the Intermountain Hospital facility on State Street, that is also a zoning change request, which is still in the works, still being negotiated by the city. I'm kind of curious if one of the reasons that the city is holding up on granting it is because they wanted to get some of this business and amendments through first. This is starting to kind of make sense in my mind. But Intermountain there is requesting a zoning change, so this would go into effect there. So yeah, I mean, it's something.
It's something. I will say I am wondering like how often this will apply. You mentioned these two good examples, but you know, I do not know how often applicants are asking for a rezone or, you know, a change to the to the general plan. The other thing is that these requirements feel a little bit squishy to me, Allie. So with the community benefits, like we mentioned, finding space for businesses that have been displaced or like adding more units or whatever it is, it seems like they can kind of pick and choose. And so it feels to me like nothing is a guarantee, right? So like, again, with the 13th South State Street strip mall, will those businesses be assured a new place to go? I'm not sure.
Right. Or do they have to find it first and then go through an application process to benefit from any of this?
Yeah. And it sounds like the city council has the final authority on this proposed public benefit. So they kind of have to work through the options with the applicant. But yeah, I guess it's a step in the right direction. I'm wondering if, you know, what the limitations will be.
Yeah. When we interviewed Tina Valderrama from Rose Park about returning home to her neighborhood where she had been displaced when the house that she was renting was demolished to make way for a new apartment complex, which I think still hasn't been built. You know, she said she received some assistance from a city council member who like helped her and her family find a new place to live. But that place was in Murray.
Yeah.
Right? Or was it Cottonwood Heights?
Yeah.
Like, it was not in her neighborhood. In Salt Lake City, and it wasn't in the neighborhood. So it's like, okay, if you're, you know, Wild Peru and you're being told you need to leave State Street and 1300 South, and like, we found somewhere for you in Draper, well, that's. How much help is that, honestly, you know?
Yeah. And there might be provisions in here. I was listening to the work session a bit to kind of put that choice in the tenant's court. But how many choices are there? You know, like, I feel like the options are quite limited.
The options are limited indeed. Let's touch on a few more city business things before we get to pick of the week, which I'm really excited about because I have a good one this week. The construction has officially begun on 2100 South. I just want to remove my hat and hold it over my heart for all the businesses along that road.
Yeah.
If you're like the torrent at Sugar House, people already can't figure out how to find you and park. And like now this, and it's just, it sucks. Like, hopefully the result is a much more pedestrian friendly, a much more beautiful, a much more flowy. Is that a thing? That can't be an urban planning term, but a much more flowy 21st South. But yeah, it's about to be real painful.
Yeah. So, and businesses are worried, Allie. I saw in reporting from ABC4 that Kimmy's Chop and Oyster House left in anticipation of the construction. They were there.
Whoa, which is weird because they just opened a bar in there. They just got a bar license and opened up a bar in
there. Well, listen, I just drove past their new location in Holiday this past week. And it seems like they didn't have a lot of faith in how well their business would do during this 21st South construction. But there is a push to support local businesses. I know the city is really trying to encourage people to patronize 21st South businesses during road construction. And Allie, sometimes I hear that road construction only impacts cars, you know, like, well, it's fine if you're not driving, but like bus routes are rerouted and it is generally unpleasant to walk next to construction. So,
oh my God, some of our road construction in Salt Lake, it's like the sidewalk disappears for a minute while it's being torn up or repaved. Yeah. Like,
so I think we can acknowledge that, like, in the end, the improvements will be an improvement, but it is painful to get to that point.
It sucks. I do want to say, and I feel like, I mean, I would hope and I trust that the city's Department of Economic Development is, you know, flyering and meeting with businesses and spreading the word about this. But there are small business construction mitigation grants that are available. So if you have a small business along 21st, if your friend has a business along 21st, you can get up to $3,000 per business from the city. And this construction on 21st South is currently listed as one of the areas covered by this grant through summer 2024. I'll link it in the episode description. But I mean, listen, is the impact going to be greater than $3,000 to your business? Probably, potentially, likely, but take the money.
Yeah.
Don't leave money on the table.
More news from Sugar House?
Yeah. Well, okay, so I was driving down 21st the other day and saw that they're building this new little building kind of by the spaghetti by the bucket. And it's quite pretty and it's got a lot of windows. And I was like, oh, I wonder what that's going to be. Because, of course, Sugar House just banned drive-thrus in that kind of area of Sugar House, which they're calling the downtown district or the Sugar House business district. And then saw a story in, I think, Building Salt Lake today that actually it's going to be a drive-thru.
What a twist.
It's going to be a Cubby's drive-thru.
What a whirlwind. Yeah.
How does that work? Okay. Are they grandfathered in because they applied for a permit or something before the ban?
Yeah. So the Salt Lake Tribune reported this, and apparently it falls like just outside of the zone where drive-thrus are banned.
I thought the zone went all the way to 7th.
I think it just goes to 9th. That's the way I read it in the story, okay? And I guess Cubby's has not replied to a request for comment quite yet. But apparently this building is a pre-existing drive-through. So, like, in that way, they are grandfathered in.
No way, it looks brand
new. I guess there used to be a Pizza Hut there.
They left one
screw in. There used to be a D's there and all of that. And so even though there hasn't been a drive-through operating there for a long time, it was pre-existing. So I don't know, Allie, the timing here, like opening up this drive-through right when this construction project is going to start on 21st South. What a mess. We're avoiding Sugar House, but also trying to go to the businesses there. So I don't know. How do we make it work? How do we make the math?
I think you just planned for time.
Yeah. Take the 21 bus as far as you can. And then... Then you got to walk the rest of the way, I guess.
Yeah. And then look for the red mailbox and then call the telephone and say the duck flies at midnight. And then you'll be dropped a blue letter. And it's like, God. And then you can go spin at Torrent.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Let's do pick of the week and get out of here. Okay. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Because you want to draw straws? You're teasing me with this pick of the week.
I'm teasing you with my pick of the week. Okay. So my friend Renee is the thriftiest person I know. She's brilliant. Like, her ability to just be like, oh, you like this oatmeal? I got a pallet of it for 30 cents from Walmart.com. Like, she's always thinking about deals. And every year for her birthday, which is in March, she started a couple years ago. Now she just updates it, a spreadsheet of everything free that she can get on her birthday. Uh-huh. And so her birthday just happened. Happy birthday, Renee, which means the spreadsheet has recently been updated.
Ooh.
And in a very exciting news, she has agreed to share it with CityCast Salt Lake listeners. Ugh. So I am linking Renee's CityCast Salt Lake Birthday Rewards 2024 spreadsheet in the episode description. Can I highlight some of the good local
please.
Ones for you? Okay. Maverick, which I think of as being local since they're headquartered here, they will give you a free pastry. You can get 15% off at Best Friends Animal Society.
Oh my God, you can get a kitty.
Isn't that fun? Fresh Market will give you a free, like, half gallon of ice cream. Okay, what else? There's some good ones. Oh, Penny Ann's Cafe, $15 off.
And I imagine at all these places, you need to prove it's your birthday.
Yeah, bring your ID.
Yeah.
Of course, again, this is not local, but, oh, Crumble will give you a free cookie.
Nice.
On your birthday, you can get a free drink at Starbucks. The other thing I love about her spreadsheet is that she will very specifically tell you if you like need to go on your birthday or if they give you a window of opportunity.
That is really helpful, actually. And
right?
Because, you know, you might be busy on your birthday. Okay. Maybe you celebrate a birthday week.
Exactly. So like you get $10 off at Tsunami, but it's any time in the month.
Okay. All right. Happy birthday to us.
I just want to say, we're going to share this spreadsheet. If you have things to add to it or things you stumble upon on your birthday, let's make it a community resource. Email us and we'll just keep building on it. And happy birthday to all the March babies.
I love it. Happy birthday.
What do you have, Emily?
Okay, Allie, the word of the week is funicular.
No, it's not.
Do you know what a funicular is?
Funicular. It makes me think like funnel. Like, does it move in a circular fashion?
I mean,
does it ascend or descend?
It does ascend and descend. So I saw a tweet from a local transit planner this week with a video of a tiny little train going up a hill in Los Angeles. And this train is what's known as a funicular, basically a little train that goes up a mountain. And then, of course, the urbanists of Salt Lake City Twitter were like, let's put one on State Street. Let's send one up to the Capitol. And I think that's a great idea.
We just need $10 billion, you guys. It's worth it. Just give us $10 billion and we'll build.
Yeah. What if we, what if the gondola only goes halfway and then we put the rest of that gondola funding toward the Capitol funicular?
So theoretically, you could, does it have to be a train to be funicular?
I don't know the answer to that. I think it's just I think it could be maybe a cable car or something, but just a little okay. rail situation that goes up and down a hill. And so the urbanists are proposing putting it right at North Temple, which is where the hill starts up to Capitol Hill. And wouldn't that be so cute and scenic and silly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't there a Rideology spin studio near there? Could the people spinning be powering the train? Yeah.
We could turn it into one of those. Have you seen those bar, bike, whatever, you're all pedaling and you're drinking at the same time?
Oh, I
don't think we have them here.
That's very Charleston. Yeah. That's a very Nashville problem. Thank God we don't have them here, but they're probably we don't have them here because our streets could not be less safe.
Yeah, but they are wide enough for one, I think.
That's true. They could have their own lane.
Yeah. Anyway, funicular. Make it happen.
Funicular. I'm going to find a way to use it this week.
Good luck.
Executive producer Emily Means, so much to discuss. Always a joy to spend time with you. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend, Allie.
That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. Our executive producer is Emily Means. Our producers are Ivana Martinez and Elizabeth Kama. Our newsletter editor is Therina Ria, and our host is me, Ali Vallarta. Music is by the local band Mitochondria. We sometimes use music from All the Kimonos. We will be back Monday morning with more from around this fantastic city. Have a great weekend.